Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, Calvary. This is Pastor John Leggett from Compassion Church Metro in Oklahoma City. Every year I get to come in and be with you guys. I can't wait to one day actually come and hang out with y'all in person. I want you to know that I love your pastor, Pastor Steve and Susan. They are good friends of me and my wife and been friends with them for a while. And I know you know this. I know that I'm not speaking anything that you don't already know. But you are blessed with amazing pastors who I love very much. So do me a favor. When they get back, honor them and show how much you love them. Today I want to speak about we're built different. That we're built different. I heard a story the other day about a young college student. He'd been picked to go to a university to play ball. And when he got there, he learned very quick that he wasn't like everybody else. He didn't party like everybody else. He didn't live like everybody else. All the other athletes, when they were not practicing, when they were not in class, well, they were at the parties, they were drinking, they were doing drugs. But he didn't do that. And at first, the athletes would invite him to come and, well, he'd say thank you, but no thank you. It got to the point that, well, they stopped asking. They knew that he was different than the rest of them. And because of that, his college years became, well, pretty lonely. He didn't get invited anymore to the parties. He didn't really hang out with any of the athletes. And, well, his decision to be different, to live different, it came at a price for him. But after school, right after he graduated, one day he's in a different town. And when he's there, he sees one of those athletes that he played ball with. That guy would come up to him and say to him, "I'm so glad that I've got the opportunity to see you. You probably didn't know this, but back when I was in school, I wasn't living right. But because of the way you lived," he said, "I'd seen many Christians, but I'd never seen someone who lived what they spoke about. Because of you, not too long after college, remembering how you lived for Christ, I gave my heart and life to Jesus. And I'm so glad that I had this opportunity to see you and to tell you that because you live different, it impacted my life." Well, today that's what I want to talk about. I want to discuss with you that we are different. We're called to be different. I want to read a passage to you today. It's out of Daniel chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. And it says, "But Daniel resolved." I want you to remember that word right there, resolved. "Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine. And he asked the chief officials for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had called the officials to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, 'I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you.' Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, 'Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who ate the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see.' So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier, and better nourished than any of the young men who had ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead." We find here in Daniel, to help you out, what has taken place is Nebuchadnezzar II, he had in essence told his officials to go out and find the best men. the most athletic, the wisest, and to bring them to him. And they had been told that they were to feed them the choice food, choice wine that, well, the king ate of. Well, because of Daniel and the three Hebrew men, because of them, they loved God. They were not willing to sacrifice. And we find here in this passage that Daniel actually says to that chief official, "Can I ask you a question? Can I just eat vegetables and drink water?" At that moment, the chief official said, "Well, if you do and you look unhealthy, I'm the one who's going to pay the price. I'm going to lose my head." And he said, "Test us. Just 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, if we don't look more healthy, then we'll go from there." So you have to remember, this is around, Daniel takes a place around 605 B.C. It's one of the first deportations that happened by the Babylonians. And because of this, it's not just that they were taken by military might. Really what is happening here is because the people were not serving God. The atmosphere had changed, and because of that, God allowed them to go into captivity. See, these four men, built different, made a decision to serve God and to live for God. And I want to talk about that today. Now, I want to stop real quick before I get too far into this. I do want you to realize, at this moment, something was taking place. Not only were they taken into captivity, remember, probably around this time, they were anywhere between the ages of 14 to 19 to 20. And at this moment, what is happening is they're being tried. Will they stand for God? Will they live for God? And the first thing he does is he takes them out of their atmosphere to bring them into his atmosphere, Nebuchadnezzar. See, I want to remind you, that's what the enemy will try to do in your life. He will try to get you out of the atmosphere God wants you in to bring you into the atmosphere the devil wants you to be in. So in your life, when storms are taking place, when trials or tribulations are happening, you've got to learn in your life when there's an atmosphere change that many times the enemy's at work. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be worried. You don't need to be scared. You need to realize that the atmosphere's changed because the enemy wants you to leave the atmosphere you're in to move into another atmosphere, but you don't let the enemy do that. See, there's a second thing that happened. Remember the names, Daniel? Now, the other three Hebrew men, I told you their names, Hananiah, but you remember them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Well, their names were changed. In other words, their identity was changed. We're living in a society that identity is everything. You know what I'm talking about. See, the enemy wants to change your identity. He wants to change who you're supposed to be in God and who He wants you to be. Remember that. Why? Because the third thing is, what they would do is for 3 years, they would be trained by the chief officials of Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change their behavior. See, the enemy wants you out of the atmosphere that God wants you to be in. Why? So he can change your identity to who he wants you to be. Why? So that you can live a different life or have a different behavior and not do what God's called you to do. Remember that. The enemy wants to change your environment. He wants to change your identity and he wants to change your behavior. But I want to tell you today how you're built different. How you're built different. Here's number one, I want you to write this down. Because you're built different, know your differences. Let me say that again. Because you're built different, know your differences. Let's look here, it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 5 and 8, it says, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine." Listen to what he said. Resolved. He decided. He made a decision in his mind that he was going to be who God called him to be. He had decided that he was not going to do what Nebuchadnezzar or the world wanted him to do. The first way that we learn that we are built different is deciding in our mind that we will be different. We are different. That we resolve, that we decide that we are a peculiar people, that God's called us to be different. But if you don't think it, if you don't believe it, it'll never happen. We are changed by the renewing of our mind, by the transforming of our mind, that we have to make the decision that we are different. We're called to be God's children, called to live a life that God's called us to live. Many times we are indecisive. Many times we're not sure of who we are. But you, as a believer in Christ Jesus, you've got to make a decision that I'm going to be who God's called me to be. I know that I'm built different. What the Word says about me is true. What the Word proclaims about me is real. You've got to make that decision. Quit allowing the enemy to get into your thoughts and get into your mind and tell you something about you that isn't true. The greatest tool of the enemy is fear. If he can make you afraid, if he can get you scared, he can get you on the run. But the Bible tells us that he's not gives us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Did you hear that? Power. God's giving you power. He's giving you love, and you can have a sound mind. But you've got to start and choose to believe what the Word of God says about you, that I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. That you are a child of God. You are protected and you can live a life that God has called you to live if you will know and believe what God says about you. Here's number two. Because you're built different, do different. Because you're built different, do different. Listen to verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief priest for permission not to defile himself this way. See, now, we've got to make a decision to know who we are in God, to believe who we are in Christ, but there has to come a moment that we take it a step further. It's not enough just to believe. We must come to the place in that, the place that we do. That I'm going to believe that I'm a child of God. I'm going to believe that I have the authority of Christ in my life. I'm going to believe that I'm anointed to do the call. But then I've got to move beyond that. Years ago, I'll never forget, I had a prayer director in our church. And we had a massive tornado in our town. And it tore apart the town. And I called her one day. I said, hey, I need you to come. And in fact, I got that wrong. She wasn't our prayer director. She was what we called our eye care director. In other words, any outreach in the community, any need that we needed, that was her job. Well, I called her that day and I said, hey, listen, I need you to come. We're going to set up a place here at the church for those that have lost their home. We're going to supply water and we've got all these different things we're going to do. And when I called her, she said, no, Pastor, I've decided I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to stay in my prayer closet and pray for those who've been harmed by the tornado. And I'll never forget, I said, well, at that moment, thank you, but you are no longer my eye care director. Because it's not about just your prayers. It's about you being willing to do what it takes to help those in our community to overcome. Your prayers is great, but we need some hands and feet to help those in this community that have been affected by this tornado. See, many of us believers, we've got faith, but the Bible says in James, faith without deeds is dead. Faith without deeds is dead. You've got to be willing to step out as a believer. Yes, you've got to believe it. You've got to think it. You've got to have in the core of who you are. But there has to come a moment where you just can't believe that you are a child of God. You've got to act like you're a child of God. That you've got to go out and do what God has called you to do, what God has laid upon your heart, that you've got to love. You've got to show compassion. You've got to help those in need. Matthew 25, unto the least of these. That we are built different, but we don't just think different, but that we do different. Here's number three. Because you're built different, stand for what's different. Because you're built different, stand for what's different. Listen to this in verse 10 of Daniel 1. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should you see looking worse than the other young guard, the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you. And listen to this. See, at this moment, Daniel sees that the guard is resisting. He sees that he's not for what he's going to do. And it could have been very easy for him to back down. Yes, he knew that he was different. He was willing to even do different. But how about when opposition came his way? Listen to what he says. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Ezra, please test your servants for 10 days. In other words, at this moment, see, not only are we built to think different, built to do different, but we're also built to stand for what is different. In this day and time, that isn't easy. If you stand up for what is right, what the Word of God says, well, what's going to happen? Well, the world will call you different names. They'll say things about you. They'll make fun of you. They'll even call you a bigot or something like that. Why? Because remember, the enemy's desire is to get you out of the environment God wants you in. Why? So that he can change your identity. Why? And this is important. Because he wants you to have different behavior. But see, there comes a moment in your life as a believer that you have to stand for what is right. You've got to stand for the Word of God. Even when it goes against everybody else, even when it goes against what people say is right, you've got to stand for what the Word of God says. It won't be easy. It will be difficult. It will come at a price. But you've got to stand for what the Word of God says. It's not an option. And let me say this, if you haven't, you will. There will come a moment in your life where you've got to take a stand for what the Word of God says, even when it goes against everything else. You have to. And here's number four. Because you're built different, you're designed to withstand the difficulties of being different. See, remember, I just told you that there will come a moment that you're going to have to stand for the Word of God, even whatever the price it costs you. Because of that, you've got to realize in those moments when difficulties come and things are fighting against you, you've got to realize that God has built you to handle difficulties. Listen to this, Daniel chapter 3, verse 6. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Go to verse 12. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your master. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you've set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up?" Go to verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into that blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold set before us." You've heard the story of the fiery furnace. The king comes in and says, "If you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you in this fiery furnace." Well, they would not bow. Here's what they said. "Our God is more than able." Remember what I said about Daniel when he said he had resolved? See, you've got to resolve in your mind that God is more than able to take care of you in your times of needs and your times of difficulties. But here's the thing. It even goes a step further. If God doesn't, if you do go through that fiery furnace, I want you to know that you say, "I will not give in to the enemy. I will not let the devil take control of my life. I will serve my God no matter what." But I love the story. You remember what happens? He looks down into the fiery furnace, the king does, and he said, "Were there not three men thrown in there? I see four." At that moment, God's in the middle of the fiery furnace. I believe they were not burnt. I believe they even came out and did not even smell like smoke. And listen, it was hot. In fact, those who threw them in the fiery furnace, actually, some of the guards died themselves just throwing them into the fiery furnace. But they made a decision. See, God's made you fireproof. That no matter what fire happens, no matter what heat comes in your life, you are built different to resist the fires and the flames of this world that try to come against you. When you resolve in your mind, when you do different, and when you decide that I will stand for what is different. But see, even Daniel went through the same thing. Later on, not Nebuchadnezzar, but another king, Darius, what happens to him? He comes for the king, and the king wants him to bow, and he will not bow. And what happens? He gets thrown into the lion's den. I love this story. It's an amazing story because what happens is the king is so upset. He, in fact, didn't really want to do it. In fact, all night he could not sleep after they had thrown him into the lion's den. The next morning he wakes up and he runs to the lion's den. When he gets there, there's Daniel. And maybe I'm wrong and maybe I'm not seeing it just right, but when I see pictures in my mind when it comes to the Word of God and what happens when he gets there. He walks in. I have this image of Daniel just laying down, maybe kind of just stroking the lion, just petting the lion, because God would not allow the lion to devour Daniel. See, not only are we built to handle the heat of life, we're also built different. Why? So we will not be devoured by the enemy's ploys in our life. See, when you decide in your life, when you resolve to know, I am different. I am who the Bible says I am. When you decide to do different, and with that, because you decide to do different, there will be a price. That moment, you've got to stand for things that are different against the world. But here's the promise I make to you. If you do, God has built you different to handle the difficulties of life. God loves you. You're built different. God's given you the power to overcome the enemy and the things of this world if you'll put your faith and your trust in Him. Calvary, thank you so much for allowing me to come and be a part of your service today. Know this truth today. You are built different. God bless.